Welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. This is the show where we dive into all aspects of peak performance through the lifespan. At TLA, we believe that everyone is, can, and should be an athlete for life. We celebrate athletes of every age, type, and ability level. Our mission is to help you to become and remain hard to kill on the playing field and in the game of life. Join me, your host, John Zombro, and my amazing co-hosts and guests as we discuss the coaching, training, and lifestyle applications that we use at TLA to help you resolve chronic pain problems forever, optimize your health and body composition, and smash athletic and fitness goals. If you're a competitive recreational athlete, a serious fitness enthusiast, or someone who wants to be a member of this inclusive community, you've come to the right place. Thanks for joining me today. And let's get started kicking ass at, in, and for life. Hey guys, John here, and welcome back to another episode. This one is number 277, and I get to be your physical therapist and performance coach and take you on a journey, another animal fit journey. This time we're going to be talking about identifying your inner animal. And the first place we're going to begin with today's discussion is in bones, or looking at the skeleton in some unique and characterizing manners, shall we say. So first of all, jumping back, I hope you like that new intro. That was a lot of fun for me to put together. Sounds pretty good. I really want to say thank you to Track Tribe for that tune, Here It Comes, that they have. It's just a great, you know, kind of grabby, energetic rock and roll tune, which kind of goes with how I like to flow. And it's a good morning. I'm just here excited to be standing at the stand-up desk in front of the microphone talking about something that I am very passionate regarding. And I would hope that you feel the same way. So if I just jump right in and say, identifying your inner animal. Well, in order to do that, we need to go through a series of simple tests. And these are all fully explained in the Animal Fit book. But that's my job today, is to give you some information about that. Now, the book has a results table. Actually, it has several. And results table one is in the book and can be used, and you can also grab a PDF of it from the website at thelifetimeathlete.com/animalfit, you know, if you want to do it that way, to record your results digitally. Okay, so I'm talking about skeletal frame size. That's kind of the first thing that we need to do in identifying your animal, and that's determine your skeletal size, which is actually a very specific measurement of bone diameter. So bone diameter, you know, thickness, the cross section, that's what we're really talking about here. And this is perhaps the easiest and the simplest of all the tests. And the criteria for that is incredibly straightforward. You and I and everyone else has either a small, medium, or large diameter skeleton. There are only three choices, and they're genetically determined. They're unchangeable, and they're inarguably clear. Your bones don't lie. They will tell you what size structure you have very quickly. The skeletal size assessment is performed via the following measure. So I'm just going to talk you through this, and again, you can do this very easily in the book, because each step has a picture and some instructions with it. So you're going to hold out your left hand in front of your body with the palm down. I'm just going to do this as we're talking as well. You'll notice the round lump of bone on the outside of your forearm, just above your wrist. This is your ulnar styloid. Now, turn your left hand over so that the palm is facing upward, towards the ceiling or sky. Using your right hand and coming toward the left arm from underneath, wrap your index finger and thumb around your left arm just above that ulnar styloid. So your hand's going to be placed, or the right hand's going to be placed closer It's at the wrist, but it's on the elbow side of that ulnar styloid. It's not down on the hand. And so you just want to slip above that. That's where you're going to be. Now, if your thumb and index finger can overlap, even to the smallest degree, just by a nail, you have a small diameter skeleton. If your thumb and index finger can just barely touch tip to tip, if you make that happen, you have a medium skeleton. And if your thumb and index finger cannot touch, and there is a space between them, well, you have a large skeleton. And it's really that simple when we look at the skeleton and this wrist circumference. So there's not only these picture descriptions with the instructions in the book, there's also a table which gives that criteria, as well as the results table where you can put your information. In almost every case, your skeletal size will determine your primary somatotype and consequently animal that you are in the Animal Fit Kingdom. There will be additional steps to determine whether you're a base or primary type, or you're just one of the major three somatotypes or animals, or a hybrid. And we'll be going through that extensively in these discussions. But let's add some more data to your body identification with this starting point of the skeleton or the bones. And so right away, that wrist test will give you a very strong indication of not only the general size from a diameter perspective of your skeleton, but also probably what somatotype or animal you are. But let's take it a little further now. Let's look at facial structure. So stand in front of a mirror and examine your facial structure. Now, do all of these things, of course, without judgment and with love for yourself, because that's where we're coming from. As you look at your face, determine if you have a relatively triangular or square or round facial appearance. Here are some characteristics of craniofacial shape that may help you decide which type of face you have. A triangular face will taper inward from the eyes as you go down towards the chin, which would represent the apex of an isosceles triangle. So it'd be, technically upside down or pointing downwards. The nose and the cheekbones will have a fairly angular appearance, and that's for a triangular face. A squared face will have pronounced features, particularly at the mandible or jawbone, and the overall contour from forehead to jaw will be relatively square. The brow may be substantial, and the chin usually appears chiseled or jutting outward. A rounded face will have curved features, with the bony constituents having relatively smooth edges. There will be a nearly circular appearance of the face as the jaw tapers from below one ear to the chin and up to the other ear. So those are the basic face structures, triangle, square, and circle. Now, due to our genetic melting pot, which we have as modern humans, facial shape tends to have many variances. It's not quite as clear-cut as the wrist. And you may notice that your face seems to be almost a blend of two of those different types we just talked about. That's perfectly natural. Just try to pick the one that you think you most closely resemble. And although this is, again, as I mentioned, less specific than bone diameter, facial shape is often a good indicator of body type or skeletal size. In the base examples, again, those are those like pure somatotypes or primary animals, where a person represents largely just one somatotype, we can say with some confidence that a triangular face goes with an ectomorph. A squared face indicates a mesomorph, and a rounded face is consistent with an endomorph. Moving along, though, we can even take this a little further, and we can just look at bony features. So I'm going to say to do these things. Take a look at your elbows, hands, shoulders, neck, rib cage, knees, and feet. Your assignment there is to do a visual assessment and determine, on average, again, being kind to yourself and being fairly general, which of the following descriptions you can best apply to your limbs and structures. If they're ectomorphic, you're going to use words like narrow, thin, angular bony landmarks with low overall volume, and your rib cage will kind of be a cylinder. If you're thinking that mesomorphic is the description for you, you're going to notice squared, solid features with a moderate overall volume, and your rib cage is going to be a box, again, to some extent. And then lastly, from an endomorphic perspective, if you notice rounded flat profiles with a fairly large overall volume and your rib cage is a bit of a barrel, well, that's more of an endomorphic presentation. So again, we can go through descriptive tables and also the results table and start to look at these things and see how they match up and line up. And finally, let's move to the anthropometric relationships of the waist to hips in females and of shoulders to waist in males. And these are all standardized types of things. I've put some modification into them just to make it very effective in the animal fit model. But, you know, I'm not talking anything here that others haven't talked about before. However, having said that, when we look at these quote-unquote anthropometric relationships, we're not going to measure the actual circumference of these areas and calculate ratios. And here's why. It's not necessary for the purpose of body typing. The classification data on these ratios is slightly conflicting in the literature, and this is related to variances in things like muscle development, body fat levels, and even race, among other factors. Also, these circumference ratios have statistical relationships to health and disease risks, but that is mostly related to body composition and not to skeletal frame configuration in isolation. And I guess I have to explain that a little bit. Sometimes those ratios will be affected by the amount of body fat on a body, which can be more linked to health and disease-related outcomes than just bone shape itself. Bone shape does not have any negative impact on health in and of itself. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to get a very good feel for our proportions by simply appreciating their visual presentation. And this is indeed valid. When making your assessment, view your body facing the mirror to gain a perspective on the skeleton and focus mainly on the bones. So ladies, appreciate your waist at the very top of the pelvic bones. So that's roughly parallel to your navel. And then your hips at their widest point. And that's where the portion of your femur known as the greater trochanter, that's the thigh bone as it comes out of your hip and makes a turn south. It sticks out to the side. So that's what you're looking for. And then gentlemen, look at your shoulders at their uppermost outer point and your waist. And the waist would be the same place as where the ladies did. So if you're one of these dudes who kind of, you know, let's say has a little bit of Dunlap's disease going on, you know, the gut's Dunlapped over the belt line, and so you wear your pants and your belt pretty low like a gunslinger, that's not your waist. You want to come up to that point parallel to the navel. And so you can't necessarily just always use, like, say, pant size or belt size. Okay, so we'll consider chest and buttock muscle development when you view it from the side in a future section, because that's more looking at muscle. So we're using this front-on view to assess the bones. Here's how the three main body types will typically appear in this examination. So an ectomorph in a female will be very close to what we'd call a one-to-one relationship, in which the waist and the hips appear to be about the same width, let's say give or take an inch or so. Males, if they're ectomorphs, will have broader shoulders than waists, but not by a significantly large amount. Again, maybe just a small bit there. Now, when we move to the mesomorph, females will have a slightly greater width at the hips than at the waist, And males will be significantly broader at the shoulders than at the waist. And those are those, you know, in the female, that's getting closer to what we would call the hourglass shape. And then also in the males, it's the V shape of the torso. And now in the endomorph, the females will present with significantly wider hips than waist. And the males will usually have a relatively even relationship between their shoulders and waist, or even a slightly wider waist than shoulders in the male endomorph. Again, these things are pretty standard, but this is a really easy way to gain an understanding of it. Keep in mind, these figures can vary quite a bit when you're considering body type, because body composition, as I mentioned before, fat and muscle in particular, is highly related to diet and lifestyle and training habits as well as genetics. So we're just looking for that general shape outline, and your personal guesstimate is fine. So we're going to refine this as we go along. All these things relate to, almost in statistics, what we would call a line of best fit around multiple data points. With that in mind, try to assess your skeleton, not your current state of condition. For example, a mesomorphic male will almost always have wider shoulders than waist, but if that man's gained a lot of abdominal weight, he may think he sees an endomorphic profile, which would be incorrect in this case. So those are some really simple, let's call them quick and dirty tips to just get a feeling of your skeleton. And the only thing we're trying to do is kind of think, is it small, medium, or large from a bony perspective? And do those shapes correlate with one of the three body types that we were talking about, which was the ectomorph, mesomorph, and endomorph. Again, we're going to get much more animalistic. I think I said animalistic, but animalistic as we go along. And that way you can start to appreciate how this thing builds. And next up, we're going to be taking a look at joint mobility. And that's kind of an interesting topic in and of itself, because we're looking at the connective tissue matrix of the joint capsules, the ligaments, tendons, fascia even to some extent, and how those things are naturally more pliable in some from a genetic perspective, and then also more stiff or rigid in others. And again, bringing this out, being able to identify it, but then ultimately not only appreciate and embrace it, but leverage it to get the most out of your beast, your being in this thing we call LIFE. So this one was a brief one, and I wanted to do it that way so that we separate things out and just talk about the skeleton. Guys, if you have any questions at all, feel free to contact me. My information is available in the show notes, and I'm happy to engage. And as I'd said before, if you're going about this in the way that the book is designed, it's a journey of exploration and fun that again gives you tools and gives you empowerment, and that's really where we're coming from. So I think that's all I'm going to offer up today. I can't wait to get back and do this again. I've probably got some other updates about what the training tribe has been doing. Some cool stuff's been happening with some of the coaching clients, as well as, you know, just a few hot topics that need to be touched on, and some Q&A, all those things. I'm going to try to weave those into these shows, but keep it a little bit briefer on the topic so we can focus on the Animal Fit content for this series. Thanks again for being with me. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy the show and the messages are resonating with you, please consider subscribing and sharing this podcast with someone awesome like you. More information on the coaching services I provide is available at thelifetimeathlete.com. You can learn about my one-on-one services, our nationwide online group training community, The Training Tribe, and my book, Animal Fit, the body type assessment and training system like no other that helps you to unleash your inner beast and unlock your athletic potential. Have a fantastic day, and I'll see you next time.